Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Unchurched Live, a no holds barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I am your co-host, Michael D. Teague, aka by my media name, and I'm even sharing it among my colleagues when I tell them about the show, Finesse, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. Dr. Gardner, what's up, sir?
Oh, you got it, man.
Hey.
Doing well.
Hey.
Let's get it going.
We got to get it going. It's good to be on. Let me just take a look, see what's going on here on Facebook, see if we are up and running. Yes, we are up and running. So I am going to share right now. Let me just take a look at sound. Yep, sound is good. I'm going to share. And let's see, we're live. This is good.
All right.
So now I'm going to know how we do my tag. And let's see, tag my people here. Just want to welcome everybody while I'm getting things set up on Facebook and tagging some people here. Let them know we are live. And while I'm here, let me just say you can call in 657-383-0106. Let me see who else. 657-383-0106. And you can talk to us. Let me see here. I got one more. We're good. All right, doctor. I just shared it. Make sure we're good on Be Live. Yes, we're good on. Good. Thank you for the person just logged on. We're making it happen. So, Unchurched Live family, make sure you come back a little bit. Tonight's topic is promising to be provocative. It is entitled Faith Communities Under Fire.
This what was that again?
Faith Communities Under Fire.
Faith communities.
Under fire. Faith communities. Now, we know, doctor, that there was a shooting on Sunday in Texas. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to my article I want to make sure the city is right. We have the right city here. And let me go to my other article. I got a few up. And it was in Sutherland Springs, Texas.
Okay, Sutherland Springs, Texas. Okay,
and
all right.
And, doctor, we remember, about a year ago, Charlottesville, South Carolina, Dylan Roof going into the black church there and shooting upwards of 9 people. And
yeah,
faith communities on the fire.
Yeah, I think isn't there more instances of church or faith community shooting, because one of the things that we have to, and when you say faith community, it's not just churches. It's not just Christian churches.
Exactly.
There's been some mosques. There are other things. There are other faith groups who have also experienced some sort of act of violence.
Exactly.
So I think that it's good to include all.
Exactly.
And how that a threat to some is a threat to all.
And doctor, this is why we've titled the show, and grateful for those who are logging on, Faith Communities Under Fire. So we're not just talking about churches, although the church shooting Sunday is the latest, if not the most, one of the most horrific attacks on a community of faith. Charlottesville, South Carolina, about a year ago, an attack on the faith community, happened to be a church. We're going to look at some data throughout the show to begin to shed some light on it. So it actually begs the question, are these shootings, have they been religiously motivated? Is there an attack on religion?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Is there attack on faith?
Hmm.
That there are people who do not want communities of faith to gather and worship.
You know, it's interesting that you put that out there. Is it an attack on faith? Because, you know, it takes a bold, brazen person to tread upon quote unquote sacred territory.
Yes.
That's supposed to be set apart for being worshiped, and to actually come in there with an act of violence and take someone, not just to take a life, but to take several lives of innocent people that had nothing at all probably to do with the reason that they came in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what part of that can we say, is it a mental health issue? I don't want to try to get ahead here. Or was it the work of the devil?
Exactly.
Or is it just, is it an all-out attack, an evil attack on anything that represents quote-unquote God?
And I'm writing this, I just wrote this in the chat. Are the shootings of churches, as well as the violence that has occurred in communities of faith, representative of an attack on religion? It's easy to surmise that. You know what I mean? The shootings have occurred in two churches. One Sunday, one about a year ago. Again, we're going to look at some data. There have been acts of violence that have occurred in other faith communities. So it's easy, the easy answer is to say, yes, religion is being attacked violently in America. And
well,
then, doctor, go ahead.
I think that one of the reasons why people say that is because it's become more prevalent.
Exactly.
And there are things that we can go back, if you want to go back in the 60s, and we can really talk about some fires.
Church bombings,
we can really talk about it. And it was kind of an accepted norm because
the
social political climate of that day, that it was commonplace to see a black church, you know, that was bombed or whatever the case, because of the social political climate. But now you have people who don't have any restraint.
It's a good word to use.
Acts of violence on sacred soil.
And so let's, without yet getting into the data, let's tease this out a little bit. You know, let's say for argument's sake, it is attack on religion.
Okay.
Is there a movement, or are there movements that are attempting to exterminate religion in America, so we will become a godless society, a la, what is it, communism, a la Marxism. You see what I'm saying? There are those, even I would say, doctor, in listening and viewing audience, who have a vested interest in making the case, because the reverse of it can fuel proselytizing within faith communities.
We've
got to take the opposite view. We've got to get the gospel out. We've got to convert. We've got to share the Islamic faith, the Jewish faith, the Buddhist faith, the Hindu faith, the Taoist faith, because there are those who are really trying to eliminate us. So we've got to work that much harder to get our respective messages out.
Good point. So in other words, it could be, you know, if there is a conspiracy, that's a conspiracy.
That's the word. If there is a conspiracy, I like that.
Then we better wake up.
Ah.
If it's a conspiracy, we better wake up. especially if you are a person of faith. Now, let me say this. I'm a Christian, okay? I'm not sure what you are, but the last time I looked, I think that you're a Christian too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so my statement is an attack on one faith is attack on all faiths.
Interesting.
Okay? An attack on one faith is attack on all faiths. Now, so I'm speaking, for those who are listening, I'm talking in terms, this part of my conversation is in an interfaith context right now.
Well said.
So an attack on one person's faith and house of worship is attack on everybody's house of worship. And so we live in a country, we live in a society that says that we should have what? Freedom of what?
Religion.
Freedom of religion. So that means our Constitution endorses a person to be able to freely worship wherever they want to choose and whatever they want to worship.
And I like that. I appreciate that about our country.
And so so if someone makes up their mind that they want to attack a mosque, they've also attacked a Christian church. Or if they make up their mind they want to attack a Hindu temple, they've also attacked a synagogue. You cannot isolate religion. If it's, we're talking about religion, a religious conspiracy, if that's what it is, one attack on one is attack on all. And so, which raises the question, what are we going to do about it? And number two is it really a religious conspiracy, or is it something else that's going on?
You know what I like, Doctor, and I appreciate your analysis. Let's talk about the separation of church and state just for a moment.
Okay.
Just for a moment. And we can talk specifically about the separation of church and state. We can also talk about the separation of religion and state conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about how religion in its reality impacts the state. So, separation of church and state. In our Constitution, and I'm not quoting it, I'm summarizing. To the best of my recollection, it says that the state shall not establish religion. Correct?
Right.
So the state shall not say that Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Zoroastrianism, no other ism, no other religion, it cannot say that that is the state religion, correct?
Correct.
But what has happened, and for those who believe that this is an attack on religion, the very nature of religious life impacts the society in which we live. And so those who argue for the separation of church and state don't really understand what was referring to when presenting, because it never said that religion couldn't impact society. It just said the state will not establish any particular religion. We got to understand, true faith impacts life. It has to, because it is a way of looking at life. It is a way to live life. It is a way, I will say this, to transform society based upon certain values. Let me just say, Frank Morales, I appreciate your comment, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Thank you so much for your comment, Frank Morales. You see, and maybe there are those who are extremists who twist the constitutional concept and say, you know what, I'm going to help the state not only not to establish religion, but to eliminate religion.
It just depends on where we want to go in terms of extreme thinking. One of the ways that government And I speak specifically of the military, because military is attached to government, and government that says what? That we will not establish a religion.
Yes.
Is that in the military forces, they have what they call chaplains.
Yes. Yes,
and, and they have also what they call a chaplain, and I know in the Army they have a chaplain, and they have a chaplain assistant, okay? And that chaplain will represent a particular faith or practice, whether, you know, there are Jewish chaplains, there are Muslim chaplains,
yes,
there are Christian chaplains of various denominations. And part of the language in the chaplain's corps and in their training is that their role is to provide or to make possible an expressive religious worship. So therefore, it's an acceptance of plurality in terms of allowing everybody to worship whoever they want to worship. And when I was in the military and I served with the chaplain's corps, one of the things that we had to make possible was the person could freely worship whatever they want to worship. So there were people that were Wiccans. They were Wiccan.
Really?
And, yeah, they were Wiccan. And, you know, and so they were, we may not be able to have a temple for them, but we had to set up a place so they can actually practice their faith. So set up a place where they can practice their faith.
Set up a place where they can practice their faith. I like that.
Right. So here we are. We're in a society that the government has endorsed that a person can practice their faith, okay? And so if there is an attack on people practicing their faith, then it's an attack on the Constitution.
I like that. And so, Dr. Gardner, let me read this. It's a CNN article, and I'm going to post it right now. A second, audience, all right. Posting this article right now. And the article is The Truth About Church Shootings. Listen to what it says. And then CNN quotes another article that we're going to analyze in just a moment. Listen to what it says. I'm going to read the first three paragraphs. They're very short. Starts off like this. Bomb threats at more than 100 Jewish community centers. Dozens of mosques vandalized and attacked. Shootings at churches across the country, including on Sunday, when a gunman shot and killed 26 people at First Baptist Church in Sutherland, Texas, during its morning worship service. Reading the headlines, you might get the impression that sacred spaces are increasingly unsafe and that religion itself is under attack in America. Mm-hmm. Understandably, that's how many Christians, particularly Southern Baptists, seemed to feel after Sunday's massacre of innocents at First Baptist Church in Sutherland. The attack targeted more than a single congregation, wrote one prominent Southern Baptist. It was an assault on Christianity itself.
What?
Now, CNN doesn't give the name of this prominent Southern Baptist, and I don't know who it was, but think about that. That one... The one church shooting, and again, I didn't say this during the broadcast. My condolences to our condolences to the families. We are praying for you. God would give you his comfort during what is an unspeakable tragedy. This Southern Baptist said it was an assault on Christianity itself. So there are those, doctor, who believe that faith communities are under fire, literally and figuratively, and the fact that it's under fire, these communities are under fire, across religious lines, that it is an attack on Christianity, and we're just suggesting there are those who believe it's an attack on religion. Now, let me shift.
Okay. Let's shift there. I mean, because, you know, there could be other variables as to why we see things like this happen.
Exactly. So I want to get to that. So this article is very good, and I did post it. Again, you're listening to Unchurched Live and No Holds Barred, Spiritual Conversation for the Seeker and the Skeptic. I'm your co-host, Vanessa, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. You can call in 657-383-0106, or you can hit us up via Be Live TV. So this is what the article says. Now, we're going to shift, and this may be shocking to some, yet the data backs it up. It says this, but most attacks at houses of worship aren't really about religion, experts say. And even with the steady rise of shootings and hate crimes, listen to the distinction, spiritual sanctuaries remain among the more secure spots to spend a Sunday morning.
Repeat that.
But most attacks at houses of worship aren't really about religion, experts say. And even with the steady rise of shootings and hate crimes, spiritual sanctuaries remain among the more secure spots to spend a Sunday morning. One more sentence. And this is a quotation from Dallas Drake, a criminologist at the Center for Homicide Research in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's very safe to go to church on Sunday. I quote, there are very few incidents, but they are high profile when they occur.
There are very few incidents, but they are high profile
when they occur. So the data, and we're going to get to the data, listening audience, viewing audience, we're going to get to the data because the data bears this out. So the data suggests that the attacks aren't about religion. They're about some other kinds of factors. And, Doc, you alluded to that a few moments ago. Go ahead.
This is important because here's the problem that people of faith struggle with, and I'll say it very kindly, is to separate religious emotion from facts, statistics, and empirical evidence. We struggle with that.
We struggle
because
with
it. We're very emotional about our faith.
Yes.
And when we see stuff like this, oh my God.
Right.
You know,
it's the devil.
It's the devil.
And Jesus is soon to come.
Yeah, it's like, oh, how could this be? You know, and so we as people of faith have to allow space in our worldview to allow statistics and data to inform us about the facts before we jump to the conclusion to say this or to say that.
Doctor, I want to read a comment. Frank Morales, I'm just going to scroll down here. He says, Revelation 13, he's going back to the church and state issue that we were discussing earlier. Revelations 13 tells us that separation of church and state goes out the window. The state will unite with the church and force people to choose to either receive the mark of the beast or the seal of God. This will happen because the condition of the world is, quote, as it was in the days of Noah, unquote. Every thought was continually evil. The love of many shall grow cold. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. 2 Timothy, and he's quoting from the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5 in NIV. Thank you, Frank Morales, for your comment. And that's a particular, let me just say this, and Doc, definitely add your insight to this. That Frank's view comes from a particular eschatological perspective, and eschatology is the theology of the end times.
Okay. All right. So he's making reference that these kinds of things
are evidence of the last day.
Are part of the last day. Okay. All right. Okay. Appreciate that.
We appreciate that. So, Doctor, I'm gonna piggyback on what you said, that we've got to integrate the two. And you said it best, and I'll just repeat what you said. We've got to allow empirical evidence to form us and perhaps change our perspective on a particular issue. That said, let's look at the data. And I'm going to post this link also. Now, it says, the data says, hold on, let me just copy this. Oh, goodness. Go back. Copy. And I'm going to post this too. Darrell Holmes, what's up, brother? Blessings to you. Thank you for tuning in. So Darrell Holmes says, I agree it's the safest place to be on Sunday. The shooting has little to do with religion. It's like implying that the theater movie shooter hates the movie industry. The shooting took place where the most people are located. I like that insight, Darrell Holmes, and I appreciate you taking the time to comment. So Pacific Standard, I just posted the link for those who want to read the article, and it's entirety. Church shootings are becoming much more common, yet the existing data, this is the subheading in the article, the existing data suggests churches aren't more or less vulnerable to gun violence than other publicly accessible places. And this was published on November 6th, and Francie Diep was the author. Let's see here. When criminologist Dallas Drake and two interns first searched for church shootings in the United States, they found 137 instances between 1980 and 2005, the majority of them causing no deaths. More recently, Drake decided to update the database and found a disturbing trend. There were more shootings in Christian churches between 2006 and 2016, 147 of them, than in the 25 years prior. The database does not include non-Christian houses of worship. So this particular article focuses on churches. Let me scroll down here. Now, he talks about mass shootings. Has found mass shootings in churches to be quite rare. So, doctor, listening audience, viewing audience, we're separating out Sunday, tragic as it was, just for the point of understanding. Just make sure we're still on. So, doc, you're still there.
Yes,
Andrew Doremus, what's up, sir? So we're going to separate out Sunday's massacre. He says, overall, Drake has found mass shootings to be quite rare in churches. Between 1980 and 2005, he and his team found only 7 shootings in which 4 or more people died. The existing results echo numbers about deadly shootings in the U.S. overall, the large majority of which killed just one person. In addition, the most common reason for shootings in churches, listen, is intimate partner violence, which accounted for 17% of the events recorded by the Center for Homicide Research. Another 14% of events were recorded as having an unknown reason.
So you mean to tell me, and this is how sensationalism really takes advantage of the media.
Yes.
If someone gets shot in a church because they're mad at an ex or whatever the case
it might be.
It's, and if I cannot, if I don't separate that, I'm going to see that as an attack on the Christian faith. Or I'm going to see that as, as the work. I'm not saying it's not the work of the devil, but I'm going to see it from a religious, spiritual standpoint, rather than the fact this person was just upset with someone in the, would you say intimate
partner
involved, intimate partner, and thereby created a horrendous act of violence in a place that's supposed to be secure and sacred. And I can understand the mixture of emotions associated with that. That's why you're this. This is why these kind of statistics helps balance our thinking so we can discern appropriately.
Agreed. And I'll read this again because it's important. And again, Dr. Gardner and I have no vested interest. We are not trying, let me just say for the record, we are not trying to minimize the horrific nature of hate crimes in communities of faith. We are not trying to minimize the horrific nature of Sunday's massacre of the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, about a year ago. We're just trying to give empirical data to help us understand, because ultimately helping us understand can help us protect ourselves. This is what it says. I'm going to read it again, and I posted the link for those who want to take a look. In addition, the most common reason for shootings is in churches is intimate partner violence, which accounted for 17% of the events recorded by the Center for Homicide Research. Another 14% of events were recorded as having an unknown reason. So what's that? 31%. Now the other 31, the other 69% has not really been accounted for. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the data initially suggests it's not about religion.
And the data is coming from actual homicide.
Yes.
Detective police work that they have to document.
Well said. The Center for Homicide Research.
So that's important. And see, here's the thing, and this is not taken away from anyone that has a strong faith in God. But we can't have a strong faith in God to the point that we ignore, you know, facts, that we ignore statistics. If anything, those facts and those statistics should heighten my devotion to my God, to my house of worship. In one sense, I need to get the message out better so that we can change what's going on in society. Look at Frank Morales and said something about, it's not about religion, it's about evil. I like that.
It is. And whatever the driving force is on a spiritual level, it is evil. Now I want to just a little bit further in terms of this article because I like what he's saying. And again, I want to invite everybody to read the whole article, because I'm selecting out certain parts of it. He does acknowledge this, Drake and his team. The researchers also don't know why shootings have gone up so drastically in Christian churches in America over the past decade. Drake has an idea, however, quote unquote, "I think that as a society, we're giving too much attention and credit to offenders," he says. "We need to stop naming the offender over and over again and showing the photograph. We need to stop saying, quote, this is the worst shooting in X number of years, because that just gives potential shooters a mark to try to beat. Research does show that media coverage can inspire copycat crimes in the 2 weeks that follow a mass shooting."
Yep. And if you doubt that, if you watch any kind of TV, you can look at Criminal Minds, you can look at Major Crimes, all of these, you can look at Law and Order, SVU. All of these shows are based upon some sort of occurrence, even though, you know, it's a show. But there's truth involved in copycat.
That's true.
And how people can, how the media can sensationalize a fact. And there are other things that, and I'm not going to get off subject, but even though this is a tragedy, but if I have a media stream that's pro-religious left, then I'm going to have that type of, I'm going to buy into that type, I'm going to spin it that way. Or if I have one that's pro-religious right, I'm going to spin social ills and social occurrences according to that way. We all should
read 100%.
Read the facts for ourselves and ask God, if you believe in God, to give me clear discernment about what's true and what's being motivated as a conspiracy or what is really, as Morales said, the work of evil.
Finally, Drake points out, and Doctor, thank you for your comment. Drake points out that considering the number of churches in the U.S. and their open nature, church shootings remain rare. In fact, gun homicides in America have declined a lot since the 90s, with numbers stabilizing in recent years, although they're still much higher in the U.S. than in other high-income countries. So that's what I got to say. I got to bring this up, Doctor. And let's segue into some of the issues. So let's put it out there. To what extent is this about the free accessibility of guns, even in particular assault rifles, which I'm not military. I study martial arts, and there's a component of martial arts study in terms of the arts that I've studied that deals with militaristic type concepts, if I can put it that way. My understanding of the M16, the AR-15, and other assault rifles, the AK-47 assault rifle, is that they were meant for war and they were meant for mass killing. Yes?
Yeah.
So it begs the question, why is it necessary for civilians to have assault rifles just for home and other protection?
You know, I'm a soldier.
Yes, sir. That's why I'm raising it. Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, the whole thing about gun control is a very politically loaded question. And to be a person of faith, have an opinion about it, you would tend, my opinion will either put me either on the left or the right.
Yes, sir.
My point is this. Rather than talk about whether or not that these, even though it's true that these weapons are used for mass destruction, why is it that when issues like this happen, for whatever reason that it happens, that it becomes a political issue that either goes left or right with in regards to gun control? How come we can't deal with what really happened and how can we correct it? Because